Amen. Well, we begin a new series today as we move through worship, and the new series is entitled this, Yours is the Authority. So we've been talking about God's glory, and we said, Yours, O Lord, is the glory. All the glory, Lord, belongs to you. So it's a little bit of a shift. We're moving into Mark chapter 2, and I want to use this phrase, this theme, to guide our thoughts and our reflections on this second chapter of Mark. Yours, Lord, is the authority. And so I'm excited to be able to share this and pray that the Lord would continue to speak to our hearts from His Word, and that we would experience the Lord in His Word, but also in this place together. We're gathered. Jesus has gathered people. And in many ways, it's like the Lord brings us together each week. And when we're gathered, we become the church, because the church is the called out people of Jesus. And so when we're in this room together, it's kind of like we become the church. And so I'm glad that you're a part of the church this morning, the gathered people of Jesus to worship Him. Now, I want to continue through Mark's account of Jesus' life, the Gospel of Mark. And as I've said before, some people believe that this is actually what Mark picked up from the Apostle Peter. And so I feel a special connection to this particular gospel because of that. It is a particular word about Jesus' life that comes from the experience that Peter had with Jesus. And so it's kind of like Mark's book about Jesus. So let's spend some time in the second chapter and see how Jesus' story progresses. For this series of talks from chapter 2, as I said, I'm calling it, Yours is the Authority. Whether anyone wanted to admit it, Jesus was in charge. So let's pick up the story in chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse 1 and I'll go down to verse 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and so they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left in the house, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, and since they could not get in to where Jesus was because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat with the man lying on it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say to him, 'Get up, take your mat, and go home'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "When have we ever seen anything like this?" Lord, would you take your word, and would you break it open, and may it be like the bread of life to us. May we feast on it today as if it were our manna for the day. And might you nourish us in our hearts and in our spirits. And might your word have roots that sink down deep and produce good fruit in keeping with your way, Lord Jesus, that you would be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Whether anyone wanted to admit it, Jesus was in charge that day. He was and he is today the authority. Let there be no mistake. He's the authority over sickness. He's the authority over disability. He's the authority over sin. Now, in Jesus' day, those three things were connected in some way. Many people believed that a person was sick or disabled because either they or their parents had sinned, and the sin had caused God to curse them with an ailment. Even today, some people see it the same way. The fact is, we live in a world where sicknesses and disabilities of all kinds exist. And determining that the person's sin has caused it can be far, far, far off base. And just as in the case of the man in the story, treatment, and at times healing, and forgiveness can bring God glory in a person's life like nothing else, and can show those who are familiar with that person's situation that God has the authority over whatever it is that affects them physically or in their hearts. We see this authority on display in Jesus' response to the crowd that had gathered there in this home. Now, here are some details that I want to point out. The first detail is this, and we see it in verse 1. Jesus and his band of disciples, and let me pause here and say that included, I believe, in this group of disciples who were following Jesus, listening to him and learning from him, were not just the 12 disciples, but it was a band of brothers and sisters in Christ, spiritual brothers and sisters who had been impacted by Jesus and had now devoted their lives to following after him. And so here, Jesus and this band of disciples are back home in Capernaum. And I want to suggest that it's Peter's home where they are. This was their home. This was where they would come home to. It's their base from which they carry out all of their various missions. They would travel by foot all around to different communities or villages, and they would teach others about God's word, and they would do various and powerful works of ministry. And then they would return home to replenish their supplies, to replenish their energy, to rest, and to get reacquainted with one another, and then also to replenish their spirits spiritually. Many of you who serve the Lord, whether it's in the church or maybe outside the walls of the church in the community, you know what it's like to be poured out? Like when you give of yourself so much, it's like somebody took you and just poured you out, so that at the end of it all, whether it's a day or a project or something, you feel completely empty. And so you need to be replenished spiritually as well as with your energy or in your relationships. And so this is why they would come home back to Capernaum. Their home in Capernaum is where this powerful work takes place. And I want to say it's powerful. God's power is demonstrated here in this episode. So that's the first detail, that Jesus and his band of disciples have come back home to Capernaum. The second detail I want to point out is that verse 2 says that Jesus, as he was there with all those gathered in this home, that he preached. Jesus preached. I love that description of the ministry of Jesus. Many times we hear about Jesus teaching, and he was known as a rabbi, a teacher of those days and those times. But in this situation, it says that Jesus preached. And it just grabs my attention, because that's what I do every week on Sundays. I preach. Jesus was a preacher, which means that he shared messages about the scriptures. He taught the scriptures. He exhorted people from the scriptures. He lived the scriptures, and he sought to apply it to the lives of those who were listening to him. He allowed the scriptures of God to challenge the people. I don't believe that Jesus took the easy path like this preacher sometimes can take. Sometimes out in our everyday lives, preaching is disregarded because people believe that preaching is judgmental, or preaching is harsh, or preachers think that they have the prerogative to tell everybody else how to live their lives. But when preaching is done in the Spirit, and in the Spirit that God intends, preaching is God's way of helping us. If we tune our ears and our hearts to him, our minds to what God's word is saying, if we seek to understand it, and if we really seek with a good heart to try to apply it to our lives, God's word and the preaching of it is God's way of helping us. Well, so Jesus was a preacher, and he preached that day in this home. The next detail that I want to point out is in verse 4. It says that they made an opening in the roof that was right over where Jesus was. This reads, when you read it in the Bible, this reads so calm and so easy. They tore open a hole in the roof and let the man down before Jesus. But listen, if somebody ripped a hole in our roof, it would create a lot of dust, a lot of debris, a lot of disruption, and that is exactly what happened in this case. It reads easy, but the experience was not. And from one preacher to the next, all of this dust and debris and disruption probably happened right when Jesus was making his best point. But what a setup to make his point. Jesus was about to show everyone that he has all the authority. And the authority that Jesus has, listen, is the only authority that matters. Let me say that again in case you missed it. The authority that Jesus has in our lives and in this world matters more than any other kind of authority. I'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. Let me just touch on a couple of other details. One is that the religious teachers were there. And so certainly in Capernaum, there were those teachers who would be present and moving around in the community, involved in the local synagogue or a group there. And the religious teachers, the point that I want to make is what the text says. They had some private thoughts. They were holding it to themselves. They weren't blurting out. But they had private thoughts about what Jesus was doing and saying. And in their hearts, they were thinking to themselves, this is what this man is doing is not just crazy. It's out of line. And the biggest, worst word that could be used in this context is that what Jesus was doing was blasphemy. Blasphemy. That essentially Jesus had no right to do it because it asserted that he was in some way equal to God, or that he knew God's way, or that he had the authority to enact God's way. And the religious leader said, this can't be. There's no way that he can have this authority. And so they had thoughts of blasphemy, of judging him and condemning him in their thoughts and in their hearts. You know how that can be, don't you? You find somebody that rubs you the wrong way. Maybe they've said something that pushes on you a little hard. And in your heart, not through your mouth, maybe we sometimes can become judgmental and condemning. And there's no way the Lord is speaking. No way that this person has the authority to say what they're saying. And then we realize later on, well, maybe the Lord needs to quiet my heart so that I can hear not so much what that person might would say, but what the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to me. And oftentimes, the way that the Lord speaks to our hearts, very few people that I've ever known have ever heard an audible voice that they would say was the voice of God. More times than not, what I've found in my own life, and I know what you have found in yours if you have been listening, is that the Lord speaks with a kind of whisper to our hearts. And if we can learn that whisper. And we can begin to recognize, oh, that's the voice. That's the whisper of the Lord. I recognize it. These religious teachers could not hear God's voice in what Jesus was doing. Well, so they were there in the midst. The healed and the forgiven man, I want to point out this detail, that when Jesus dealt with him, it was something that happened pretty quickly. It happened pretty rapidly. And so this man was healed and forgiven in this moment. And he responded very rapidly to what Jesus had done in his life. And he responded rapidly, and he left the room almost immediately. And the onlookers were shocked at all that happened. There was just a kind of shock. And sometimes, you know, that kind of shock when something happens, you weren't expecting it. You come to a realization that rattles you, and there's a kind of shock that takes hold of you, and you don't really know what to do or even what to say. And these people make this kind of statement: "We have never seen anything like this before," as if that kind of a statement is really adequate to what they had seen and witnessed. But here's the most important truth that I want to leave with you today, and that is this: that Jesus displays that he has all the authority in the room that really matters. There were others there with a form of authority. The religious teachers were there. Surely they had a form of authority. There were surely other influential people in that room from the community, influencers of different kind, people that were respected, and when they spoke, people listened. You know, those kinds of influential people. And surely they were there in the room. Maybe there were family members who were in that room, and those family members would be those who carried sway over children and grandchildren. Authorities that we might be familiar with like that even in our day. But I ask you this: what was that kind of authority able to do? You see, all of the authority belongs to the Lord. That matters. And what was it that the kind of human authority that was there in that room really able to do? That kind of authority in that room, that kind of human authority, it had deemed that Jesus' actions were blasphemy. No room for forgiveness. No room for healing, Jesus. As a matter of fact, if healing and forgiveness are going to happen, it's going to come from somewhere else and somebody else other than you, Jesus. No healing. No forgiveness allowed in this room. That kind of authority, it had nothing to offer the man. No healing, no forgiveness. It had nothing to offer. That kind of human authority, it kept God, and it kept God's power to save, God's power to forgive, God's power to heal. It kept God's power in the same old box that it had always been in for them. God, you are to behave this way. And nothing outside of this. And any time that we think we know enough about God, that God will only do as we know and believe, and nothing else, you can know that we have taken the Almighty God, the Living God, the Creator God, and we have put him in a box of our own making. We'll see that Jesus, which I believe about Jesus. Now, you need to understand what I believe about Jesus. I believe that he is what the scriptures describe as Emmanuel. God with us. I believe that Jesus is the fullness of God revealed in human flesh. I believe that Jesus is God revealed to us. So when I read about Jesus, I kind of make the assumption I'm reading about God. When I read the words of Jesus, I make the assumption that I'm hearing the words of God. When I see the power of displayed in Jesus' life, I assume that it's the power of God on display. When I see Jesus speak to and deal with demons, I assume that it is God dealing with demons in the lives of people. And so in this situation, when I see religious teachers telling Jesus, you are nothing but blasphemy, then I assume that those in the room are seeking to put their controls on God. The authority, the kind of human authority in that room, if you really want to know the truth about it, did nothing but just be silent in the face of this man that needed an experience with God. Everybody in that room, every authority in that room had nothing to say, and they had nothing to do. Matter of fact, the guy that they dropped down through the roof might have been the same guy that they walked by every day, that they'd gotten accustomed to ignoring, the same guy that just annoyed them to death. Oh, there he is again. I wish he would be quiet. I wish somebody would do something with him, put him where he needs to be. He doesn't need to be sitting right there all the time and disturbing the street and those that pass by. That same guy. And here they are all in the same room, and God's power and authority is on display, and all they can do is remain silent and judgmental. You see, that's the difference between the authority that Jesus has and the authority that we would be accustomed to, or the authority that we might would try to exercise. Many times today, the kind of authority we exercise offers about the same kind of thing that these people in this story had to offer. The authority that we exercise today, it does not turn us to see and to experience Jesus. Do what I tell you to do. And don't get out of line. And while you're at it, show me some respect. That sounds like the authority that I'm accustomed to. Yet in Jesus Christ, there's a different kind of authority. And in Jesus Christ is found a new kind of healing. It's the power of God to not only heal, but also to forgive. And I would ask you the same question that Jesus asked. Which is harder, to heal or to forgive? That was Jesus' question to the room, and I believe it's his question to us. We might would think that healing is always harder. It's what eludes us most of the time. It's what we depend on doctors and hospitals and medications to bring to us. It's what takes up our days with appointments and our money with prescriptions. Now, hear me. Hear me. Keep your appointments and take your prescribed meds. These are human means that God uses to bring us healing and health. So I'm not suggesting that you disregard those things. But what if forgiving is harder? We think that healing is harder. I mean, if I had healing in my hands, I would come to where you are if you're suffering, and I would lay a healing hand on you. If I had healing in my hands. But I don't. And you don't. And even the best doctor doesn't. They don't have healing in their hands. And so we think that healing is always harder. We have to pray for it harder. We have to work for it harder. We have to pay more money for it. But what about if forgiving is really, in God's economy, harder? We often think that healing is the greater work. But Jesus begins the journey to physical healing in this man with forgiveness, with spiritual healing. It's new healing. It's forgiveness first that Jesus extends to this man. And then healing comes. I guess what I'm getting at is that an experience with Jesus always involves him dealing with what's happening on our inside. And usually forgiveness is the cure to the ailments of the heart. Whether it's forgiving yourself, forgiving others, or maybe even forgiving God. And if God deems it, then it is God demonstrating his healing power. Today, what I would want us to do is to recognize that Jesus has all the authority over us and our world. That Jesus exercises a new kind of healing through his words. The healing words he still speaks to you and to me. And so perhaps we would hear his words spoken to us now in this moment. And maybe the way that you would hear Jesus' word to you is just simply to close your eyes and allow the words that Jesus spoke to be heard by you today in this place. My daughter, my son, you are forgiven. Now, with that forgiveness, you get on up and take your mat and go on your way. Forgiveness. And as the Lord deems, healing. And Jesus is the only one with the authority to speak both over us, to speak both into being. Where might the authority, and when I say authority, imagine it with capital letters as a name to ascribe to Jesus. Where might the authority need to go to work in you and in me today? Is there a word in your heart that Jesus needs to speak forgiveness over and bring some healing to your inner being, down into your heart and your soul? Maybe you just simply need to hear somebody say, "My child, you're forgiven." You don't have to, nothing else you need to be concerned about, just simply this: you are forgiven. Only Jesus has the authority to speak that word down into our soul. And then maybe through that word spoken of forgiveness, healing begins in us. And who knows what that healing looks like? Maybe it is physical healing. Maybe after much intercession and faith, the Lord deems healing to be in order, and he gives healing. Maybe it's the healing power of forgiveness. Maybe there is some forgiveness that you need to extend to yourself. Maybe forgiveness that you need to extend to someone else. And God forbid, but it's true, I've kind of shook my fist at God sometimes to be able to say to the Lord, "Lord, I forgive you. I've been angry at you, Lord. I've got a good reason to be angry, I think. But Lord, I need some healing in my heart." And today, maybe the word that you hear is a word of forgiveness. So Lord, you have your way today in us and in this church and the gathered people today, your people. Might you speak to us the words that we need to hear, the whispers into our hearts of forgiveness and healing Might it wash over us, Lord, and might we know that your authority is all that matters, that your authority, Lord, is what grants to us life abundant and life eternal. And so, Lord, this day we submit to your authority and to this new kind of healing that you speak over us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. It's been a good day today, and we're going to wrap up our worship service now. Following this hour, we'll go into our life groups. If you stick around, that's great. If you need to move on to other things, I pray the Lord's richest blessings on you throughout the remainder of this day. I know Josh will mention this in announcements, but look, tonight, it's kind of like today, we just haven't gotten through with our worship. There's more that's in us, and we want to give it to the Lord. And today we get to. At 6 o'clock, we'll be right back in this room, and I want to see all of you here to lift up our praise to the Lord. It'll start at 6, and we've got two sister churches that are coming to worship with us, the Ridge Church, which is not far from us, but Pastor Bobby Williams, and then Freedom Hope Church, which is over on the Turnpike right next to the Domino's Pizza, Pastor Adam Barnhart. We'll all be gathered in this room tonight to just lift our praise to the Lord and to keep it going through the evening. It's going to be a wonderful time together. I look forward to seeing you. We're going to sing now as kind of our closing act of worship. I believe it's Oh Come to the Altar. And this song just puts into words some of what I've been sharing today. Let's stand together and let's give this response to the Lord.